I'm all about building communities, celebrating unique journeys, and sharing stories about the paths people have taken to enter the tech industry. Join me as we explore the skills my guests have learned in their prior jobs, schooling, or life experiences, and how they apply them to their current roles in tech. In today's episode, I interview Philip, who transitioned to tech after getting his master's in psychology. He brings the human side of things in his day-to-day life at Slido, where he's the quality assurance lead as he searches for bugs and problems within the product and simulates the way the end user might interact with a feature. It's a great conversation and one full of encouragement for those looking to transition into tech. I'm your host, Lauren Lee, and this is We Belong Here, Lessons from Unconventional Paths to Tech.
Well, first of all, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It's an honor.
Oh, you're too kind. Tell me more about experiences that you had before you entered the tech industry.
Yeah, so basically my journey, I was always kind of a tech head. Like I loved working with computers. I loved computer games when I was little. So that was kind of my passion. But when I was in high school and I wanted to try, I wanted to see where I should study at a university, I was really struggling with math. And I think a lot of your listeners probably can relate to that. The struggle with math is it's a big scary thing you feel like you need to conquer. And
and it feels like a must know or something that you need to be successful at if you have an interest in pursuing a career in tech. And so I can definitely relate that that's a blocker, I think, for folks.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I had a very, very bad teacher of math at a high school. So I convinced myself, if I'm not good in math, then I should not even apply for a tech or tech related university. No IT, not stuff like that. You can see how important this is to have inspiring people in your life and inspiring teachers, because I mean they can really, really shape your world, the things you believe in and how you believe in yourself, actually. So
right.
So I was, I was 17 years old or something, and I thought, this IT thing won't work, so I need to think of something else. And my mom actually inspired me, that she was excited about psychology, and I always kind of thought of myself I think I could do this. I like talking to people. I like giving them advice, which is not something that a good psychologist should directly do, but I thought that would be a part of it, and it felt right. So I kind of there was a passion in me to do psychology. So I decided I'm going to pursue that. So yeah, I studied 5 years here in Slovakia. You studied 5 years for a master's degree in psychology, and I did that. And afterwards, I joined this project, which was an online council, something like a hotline for people that want to reach out because they have all kinds of problems. But in this case, this was a chat based thing, so it was fairly new and it was an interesting project. It was an NGO. And I really became a big fan of the project, and afterwards I kind of became a part of it. So that was an interesting experience.
I see. Okay, so it was text based. You were responding via chatbot essentially, and kind of talking to people, finding out what's going on in their world and why they were, looking to talk to someone essentially.
Yeah. I mean the problems varied. It was actually aimed for young people, and as you can imagine, young people today have all kinds of problems, and sometimes it gets really dark. But the anonymity that they had when they were talking to us, because they could just use a nickname or something, it actually gets them to feel safer in that conversation and to actually open up about things that they weren't able to open up to anybody, actually. So that was quite an eye-opening experience, because you kind of have like a vision of the world, of what the world is and what kind of people live in that. And then you open like a whole new box of stories and experiences that you would never even think that they exist. So, that was kind of a life-changing experience too.
Sure. So how long did you stay in that role and function as that online counselor?
I was involved in that project. I think it was something over 2 years. And I did counseling in there. But since that was an NGO project with a lot of volunteers and stuff like that, I kind of helped run the project as well. So there were stuff like I already kind of got myself into a tech a little bit, since it was a web-based service.
Yeah, so were you kind of learning on the job while you were there, kind of the ins and outs of how the tech behind the chatbot was working, and that was your introduction to it, or...
Yeah, kind of. So we made an update for our site, and we hired someone to do that, or basically someone volunteered to do that. And afterwards, we saw like the chat window, so that was like an external service. It doesn't look too nice, but maybe we can make it nicer. So that was my first experience. Playing with CSS and try to get the colors right and try to get the margins and paddings and everything right. So, it wasn't as painful as many people's experience with CSS is. I really enjoyed it. And there was actually lots of other stuff. Like we wanted to do a fundraising campaign. So we needed to do a banner, and like, who will do that? So I raised my hand learned to work with Photoshop, and we need to make a video. Who will do that? Well, I raised my hand again, and I learned to do some video production and stuff like that. So I really enjoyed the technical stuff of the whole thing, and slowly I realized that this is actually that my heart desires a lot. So I kind of wanted to transition closer to the tech world, even though at the point when I was leaving, I was still I still knew close to nothing, but right. I knew where the passion is.
Yeah, and I think that's so neat to discover while in a role, you know, the really cool things that you can do with tech. You know, it sounds like those were really in the moment, real world applications of it too. And okay, I can teach myself this, I can figure this out. And it feels so fun to be able to unlock that ability then, and, you know, kind of get to continuously challenge myself. So what then, when you decided it was time to move on, how did you decide to like start pursuing that you were ready, essentially? Because I think that's pretty terrifying moment to decide to say, okay, I'm going to abandon or walk away from this role that I had gone to school for, trained for, kind of everything was building up for one thing. And then to switch to another it's very brave.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of had the luck to transition like really, really slowly. I didn't need to do that like all at once. So that's a blessing, actually. And I don't think it was actually that hard for me to like admit to myself that this is what I want. I really, really felt it. It was like as if I put all the ID stuff into a sleep. When I was leaving high school and going to the university to study psychology. Right. And suddenly, a couple of years after, I kind of woke up that beast or the thing that was sleeping there the whole time. And I realized, yes, this is my passion. This is actually what I want to do. And it kind of translated to what I did with my free time. So every evening I would go online and try some courses. I would learn on Codecademy. There were like these interactive exercises where I could learn CSS, HTML, JavaScript, so the basic stuff. And it really, really like sparked this passion.
Hello, We Belong Here listeners. Imagine a job where you can work whenever you want, on whatever you want, from wherever you want. Hello, white sand beaches of Thailand, or the comfort of your own couch. Oh, and you're your own boss. Now, what if I told you that dream could become your reality? This is the life of a freelancer, and with some hard work and the help of Hectic, it could be your life too. Hectic is an all-in-one business management software built specifically for freelancers who are just getting started or looking to take their freelance business to the next level. Hectic is everything a freelancer needs to get started, from an easy-to-use contracts and proposal builder to client management and project tracking to expenses and invoices that features click-to-pay technology that makes it quick and easy for freelancers to get paid. Built specifically for freelancers, Hectic is everything you need to get started. Visit gethecticapp.com/webelonghere to learn more and start for free. Yep, adding your first client on the platform will always be free. And if you sign up through the gethecticapp.com/webelonghere, you'll be supporting me in this podcast, because who couldn't use a little extra support right now? Visit gethecticapp.com/webelonghere to find everything you need to start or grow your freelancing business today and put those in-demand skills to good use in the way you've always dreamed of.
I said that my transition was kind of slow, and that was, my father actually has an IT firm. It's a small company, so it's like only 5 people or something. But he works in IT, and he was actually looking for a tester right around that time when me and my wife were expecting to have our first son, and I realized this NGO thing, like it was really kind of a slap in the face when we were expecting our first son to be born. Like, oh my god, this NGO thing, I mean, it's all fun, it's really cool, but I mean, I need to pay my bills, and there's a whole another person waiting for me to feed him, and this doesn't seem to work really well, because as much fun as it was and as much as I enjoyed it, it wasn't viable as I would wish it would.
Okay, so that's so great that you had the opportunity to then dip your toe into the waters of testing, which is such a crucial side of tech, and a safe environment at your father's firm. Is that kind of then how you got some more on the job learning, if you will?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm convinced that if someone would want to just maybe dip their toes into the tech world, I think that testing is actually a really, really good path here.
Sure, that's great advice. Why do you say that?
I think anyone can start as a tester, because the software is made for real people. That are going to be using that software, and maybe they are not technical, maybe they are not like tech savvy, and even if you don't know what those technologies, what that software is built in, like what technology, and you don't understand what's happening down below, you can still interact with the software as a basic user. But you interact with the beta version or not finished version, so you kind of get to after a while, you will open that DevTools console. You look into the errors that are there. You open the network panel. You get to see the API calls and like start wondering, what are the API calls? What's that about? And then you learn about database. And I mean, the learning comes very organically to you as a tester. And you can really get a good start into understanding just the basics. And then you can play around with JavaScript, try to create your own app and stuff like that. So I think, yeah, testing is a good way to, if you don't want to like jump right into it and be a developer from scratch, which is indeed, that is a scary, and kudos to everyone who does that. I mean, you guys are heroes, here. So the testing is much, much simpler here, much more smoother transition, I think, because you start as a user, then become a power user, and then maybe become a developer or something.
Perfect. Yeah, that makes sense. It's an interesting way into it. I really like it. And it sounds like you kind of get to go at your own pace, which I think is kind of a nice way for folks as well. So bring us to today. Tell me more about what you do as the QA lead and test automation engineer at Slido. I'm a big fan of Slido, by the way. We use it quite a bit to ask questions at where I work. It's, you know, the way to pull and submit questions during all hands and team meetings and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it works out for you. Hopefully you haven't been experiencing any issues.
Yeah, no, all good positive experiences with it, but I will let you know if I do.
That's awesome. That means I'm probably doing a good job of catching those bugs. What I do, I mean, Slido is a fairly new company. I think we have celebrated the 8th year of existence this year. I think so. I don't remember. Like, this year is a mush of everything. So I don't remember if that's the 8th year or 9th year. I think it's 8. Yeah. So I came there almost 5 years ago and I started as a single tester. So most of my work was doing manual. Yeah, I started in Slido when there were only like 30 people in the company.
Very cool.
Now we are like 170 actually. So I've seen the company grow, and I have seen all the challenges of what happens when the company is growing this fast. And it's really exciting.
Sure.
So yeah, I started as a single tester. I was doing mostly the manual work. So working closely with developers, trying to get the feedback as soon as possible, click through stuff, find bugs, report them and stuff like that. As the team grew, I kind of organically became a QA lead for all those folks that came after me. And, right from the beginning, I kind of knew that I need to do some automation, and I need to find a way how to do that with very little experience. And so I stumbled upon Cypress. And if you have ever worked with Cypress, you probably have the experience that it's really, really easy to start writing automation scripts, and it kind of just works. So this was kind of my struggle, because I started with Selenium that was mostly based in Java. Mm-hmm. It was kind of hard for me to figure out. So that was a big leap I wasn't able to jump over. With Cypress, it was fairly easy. And I kind of encourage people that want to learn some kind of test on me, that want to learn some kind of test automation, that they should probably start with Cypress. Because if they are testing a web app, because it's very easy to learn, and I actually have a course on that where you can learn like from zero to hero in an hour. But I digress. I'm going to.
That's very cool.
yeah, I I am a Cyprus ambassador. So, yeah, that's an interesting story. So, so with Slido, we actually had quite a lot of opportunities to come and visit various conferences. Because sure. Not only we would provide the tool for a conference, but also we would mm-hmm. provide a support, like on-site support for the tool.
Great. Yeah.
So I went to a conference called We Are Developers in Vienna, in Austria, and there was a talk by Gleb Bakhmutov from Slido. And he was talking about Cyprus, and I was already using the tool. So I said, I have to meet him. I have to shake his hand. So I met him. I said, yeah, you see Slido? You've been using it. Well, we are testing it with Cyprus. And he was like, yeah, that's awesome. And and like a year afterwards, he was, again, he was in Europe, and he was actually in Bratislava. And he just tweeted something like, and I saw the photo. Well, that's in Bratislava. Gleb is here. I need to meet him. So I reached out to him. Hey, you want to meet? And he was like, sure, why not? And that actually surprised me how friendly he was. And that was so awesome. So we met, he came to our HQ, and we just basically we hung out and talked about Cyprus and talked about life and everything. And afterwards I reached out to him. That was the time when Cyprus was still quite a young tool. And I said, like, I'm still learning, and I would like to see some kind of community around this tool, so we can exchange experiences, we can exchange code, and learn from each other.
See and how others are using it. Sure.
Yeah. And it was exactly at that time when the Cyprus Ambassador Group was forming. So he invited me. Like, yeah, you had a talk on Cyprus on the conference you were at. So why don't you join the ambassador group? So you already talk nice about us. So why don't you join? And that felt like really, that was so nice. I mean, I was so lucky to get invited into that group because, I mean, there was no reason. I knew close to nothing at that time. I wrote few lines of code in Cyprus. Well, maybe a little more, but still, I felt like a real junior. And suddenly, I'm an ambassador, and yeah, that was so nice of him to invite me.
Well, that's great, though. Yeah, it's communities like that are incredible, though, as you said, as a way to kind of stretch your understanding of a tool and see how others are, you know, using it for the solutions that you may not have, you know, even considered. So it's just a cool way to continue your journey of learning, et cetera. And sounds like it's a really good pairing between the two.
Yeah, exactly.
For listeners to check it out. Thanks for sharing about it.
Being in a community, it's such a crucial part of learning
Definitely.
To code, learning to test. I mean, you have to see what others are doing because they can be a great inspiration for you, and they can maybe you'll be lucky. I mean, as I was to meet someone and to get invited to something. I mean, I was certainly lucky to meet with you, Lauren. Just being in the Twitter tech community and following some people, and I kind of stumbled upon you by sheer luck, and here we are. So that's nice.
Yeah. It's the power of interconnectivity and community,
exactly.
As you say. I think what I've always been so inspired by since entering this particular industry is that there's no correct one way to solve any particular problem. And so there's such beauty in understanding how you might solve it and then comparing how I approached it and then discovering kind of the complexities and the differences and, oh, wow, you decided to tackle it that route. Like, that's so fascinating. I never would have thought of it that way. And it just kind of pushes your definition of what is possible. And if you just exist in a vacuum and only know your truth or only see the way that you would solve something, it's quite limiting and rather boring then because, you know, you're
Yeah.
You're never surprised by anything. And yeah, I think it's Twitter and just like, you know, different Discord or Slack communities that exist are so fun to kind of workshop different things like that. I really appreciate
Everyone
kind of spending this year online has been an interesting way to build relationships in a different way, of course, but
it's exactly. Normal.
I'm really curious to learn if you kind of see your past, your education and time in the world of psychology, if you see that impacting your world today, or if you use the skills that you learned from your time in that hemisphere, if they kind of ever intersect.
Yeah, I mean, there are two things here. The first one is, well, basically psychology is a study of human motivation. So it's basically asking, why do we do what we do? And that's a good question to ask when you are developing software or when you are testing software. So why do people do what they do? I mean, the whole user experience is trying to answer that question correctly, right? So you build the user experience so that it comes natural to the user. And what comes natural to the user, well, you kind of get to understand that when you try to ask yourself, why do people do the things they do? So I think that made an impact. But there's one other thing, and I have a little story around that. So when I was working in that online counseling, so I was on the chat, and being anonymous, it helps you open up to a person. Well, I wasn't anonymous, but the person on the other side, they were anonymous. So on one hand, it helps you to open up with your problems. On the other hand, it opens up the possibility to troll people, right? But so we got some trolls in on the site, but what we learned that no one ever wrote us by sheer luck. I mean, there was always some kind of purpose behind. It was not a coincidence that they wrote to us, even when they started by trolling us, by trying to make us feel bad, by insulting us and being really not nice to us. It still kind of felt that this is not really about me as a person, but there is something below this.
Yeah.
There's something below this. And if I'm patient enough and if I listen carefully and if I ask questions and basically try to interact with this person as a human being, then maybe I get to know this person a little better. And what I realized is that people just have different languages, and I don't mean like English, Slovak and Czech and stuff like that, but the personal language, the way how you express yourself, and that is really, really diverse. And I think that many times when people don't understand each other on the internet, on Twitter or Facebook or something like that, I think that kind of stems from this, that they don't speak the same language. And this was a great learning for me, that people speak different languages, even if we use the same language, right? And when I came to the tech world, when I came to Slido, there were some people that had a different language. Like imagine a stereotypical grumpy developer. I think you probably met someone. You probably have a name in your head.
I can picture them. Sure, got it.
Yeah, and as more and more people were coming to company, I kind of noticed that these grumpy developers were kind of being avoided. Like people were tiptoeing around them, and these people were actually those people that have interested me the most, because I knew that there's a language that they use, which I'm not fully hearing. And I realized that their expression is actually expression of some values. So if they're annoyed by something, that means they value something and it's being attacked, that value. So that's why they are annoyed. So I try to find out what it is that they value very much. And so that's an experience that kind of translated from the psychology to the IT world, where there are also people, like the technical part is just a part of it, right? You still have to interact with people. You need to go to the office. Well, not so much today, but before March, we were going to offices and, well, we are still interacting with people. And finding the way to understand different people with different languages is, I think a good skill to have, or maybe rather I'd say it was a nice experience for me to be able to talk to all kinds of people and to try to find a way to talk to them. Because like these grumpy developers actually became very, very good friends to me.
Because you took the time to see the human side of it. And yeah, I think it's really important to remember that, you know, we are a part of a team, and those abilities to connect and build relationships are still just as valuable, because then, you know, we can communicate better and create, you know, whatever it is, the product that we're building to be, I don't know, there's just something that works then really well in a nice synergy to it.
And it goes, and it goes beyond company. It goes basically to any human interaction we have.
100%.
Like, if you see people arguing on Twitter over some stupid thing, I kind of always see these people just talking in different languages, and I just wish that there was a way that they would be able to understand each other. Because, I mean, if they met in person, they'd probably not even talk to each other that way. And if they spent enough time together, then they would probably be able to find the language or the human inside of them. And maybe there would be less division in the world. And as you can see, I'm kind of an idealist.
I truly believe
there's good in everyone. And even in those people that may annoy us initially, I really believe there's good in everyone.
Yeah, no, I do too. I think it's really a lovely way to see the world and a hopeful way to interact with folks on the day-to-day level.
Hello, We Belong Here listeners. Today's episode is sponsored by the new We Belong Here Discord community. I recently have been thinking about ways to continue the conversation with guests after each episode, to foster our community, share resources, and stay connected to both the guests and listeners. And I'm excited because we've created a We Belong Here Discord server. What is Discord, you might be asking? Well, it's a voice, video, and text communication service to talk and hang out with your friends and communities. I know, neat, right? It will be a place for us to connect, share resources, mentor, and build community together. Everyone is welcome, and it promises to be an incredibly inclusive space. It's important to me that everyone has an inclusive community where everyone feels welcome and supported. And this could be yours. If this sounds like something you'd be interested in joining, please do. The link to join is bit.ly/WeBelongDiscord. That's bit.ly/WeBelongDiscord, DISCORD. Or find a link in my bio on Twitter or Instagram at Lolo Coding. I'm super excited to see you there.
Do you have any advice for those wanting to transition into tech that you can share?
My advice would be probably try to find your own way. And I bet that if you're looking for it, you're eventually going to find it. And there will be times where you will feel like, well, I'm never going to be as good as my colleague because he's a top developer. And I mean, I'm way behind. There are years wasted that I should have been learning IT and I did not. And yeah, yeah. So I'm lost. I'm already 32 years old and yeah, I lost all those years. I'm never going to catch up. That's not true. I mean, some of the people I admire haven't actually been in the IT world for a long time. I mean, a lot of people probably know Kent C. Dodds is the author of a React course on Egghead.io and made an epic React course not so long ago. He's like a great teacher to thousands of people. And I only just recently learned about him that he is in IT, I don't know, only like 8 or 10 years. You probably should fact check that for me. But I mean, I was so surprised when I heard his story that he was actually not in the IT for that long. And yet he became such an inspiration for developers all around the world. So, yeah. I mean, it's never too late for anyone. Never too late.
And you know, to play the game of, oh, I've been a developer for X amount of time, shouldn't, you know, give anyone more clout than the other. And I think it's super fair, a good reminder to try as best as you can to not play the comparison game because we're all on our journey and it's impossible to be an expert on everything. And so if your colleague is an expert on X, who's to say that you can't become an expert on Y? And then together you can achieve more things. So it really is, you know, a daily battle with imposter syndrome. But, you know, if that is something that, you know, dear listener, you can relate to, you know, you are not alone. This is so, you know, we all feel it that way. And it's a nice reminder though, to, you know, kind of remind ourselves that we cannot be comparing ourselves and, you know, be down on ourselves because we don't know everything because it'll never be possible to.
And I actually, as you were talking, I thought of an advice, and that is learn in public. That's my advice. Write a blog, make a Twitch stream, or create a video or something, and don't think about whether you have something to say. I mean, you are on your journey, and there's a lot of stuff ahead of you. But I mean, look into the past month or past year of your learning. You have probably made a long journey since the last year. And there's probably things that you know now that you would be so happy to hear a month, 2 months, 3 months ago. And somebody wants to hear that. Somebody needs to hear that right now. So I really, really suggest to overcome that fear. The fear is not even rational. I mean, write a blog about what you did today, what you learned today. Sure. Try to make a tweet about today I learned this. And you'll see it's going to be valuable for someone. I write a blog about Cypress tips. And I wouldn't even believe how valuable it is for so many people. And it's often seems like basic stuff because... I'm not an expert. I'm in the IT world for 4 years or something like that. And yet, there are people that need to hear what I have to say today. And I'm sure that there are people that need to hear what you want to say today. So that would be my advice. Learn in public.
I love that. And I think when you then are teaching it or kind of writing it out or sharing it, you know, again, with someone, it helps you understand it better too. Exactly. And I know that folks feel nervous about, I think, kind of sharing that publicly because they think, oh, well, someone else knows it better. I should just let them write it and be the expert. But no, there's something really great about saying, I don't totally get this. I'm trying to make sense of it. Here's where I am with it right now. And, you know, Twitch, for example, as you said, is a great space for that because you don't have to be perfect and polished on that. You can, you know, spend an entire stream just debugging something. And it's super fun to watch that sort of thing because, it reminds us all that A, it shows us cool different ways that people debug things, but also reminds us that, you know, we aren't all perfect and things aren't always super polished. And so, yeah, I think it's a great thing to do for the community, but also for yourself, because it's a nice signpost for reminding of all the things that you can kind of learn over time. And as you said, it's like very easy to get caught up in the day to day of things and forget that you've made achievements. And then looking back, if you think of how far you've come in just this little bit of time, it's quite impressive. And so, celebrate those moments.
Yeah. And I mean, you don't have to jump into that with the mindset of, I have to teach someone something.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually go into that with the mindset, well, this is what I learned. I want to share that with the world. And I mean, isn't that amazing?
Definitely. Absolutely. It's a really cool way to celebrate an achievement or a new aha moment that you've had, essentially.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Well, thank you for saying that. Definitely.
Yeah. So I found something. I found an advice.
You did. You absolutely did. Okay. Well, are there things that you want to shout out, or where can people find you online?
Well, they can find me on Twitter, under my name, Philip_Hritz, H-R-I-C. I have a website, that's philiphritz.com, where I write Cypress tips. So if you are writing tests in Cypress, you'll definitely find some material there.
Amazing. Oh, well, that is incredible. Thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your journey and, the advice and wisdom and everything. I so appreciate it. And I know the listeners will also.
Thank you so much for inviting me. This was so much fun. Thank you.
Oh, good. Well, thank you. And cheers. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Okay. Bye now. And that's a wrap on today's episode. I'm Lauren Lee. Thank you for listening to We Belong Here. If you have any questions about this or any other episode, find me on Twitter at LoloCoding. That's LoloCoding. Shoot me an email or leave a comment on the We Belong Here website. If you enjoyed this episode, please, please, please subscribe and review the show on your podcast player of choice. And be sure to check us out next week for another story and lessons learned from an unconventional path to tech.